Hello and welcome. This is Christian bringing you another episode of the Ice Age Farmer Podcast. Mapping a path forward, building resilient communities, and sharing knowledge in the grand solar minimum. Today is September 11th, 2017, and this is episode lucky number 13. September 11th, still a day that's heavy with the echoes of events from past years, from 2001, from 2009 as well in Benghazi. Laden as well with history, like George Bush Sr. announcing for the first time in a presidential speech the new world order. But it's also an indicator. I'll share some thoughts on the change of seasons. And then we'll get into an icebreaker segment, sort of an introduction to the grand solar minimum and its symptoms that we will know to look for. This is for new folks, so that if you are just finding us, if you are looking at the crazy climate events, seismic events that are playing right now, and beginning to get a feel for the fact that these things are connected indeed with our sun and its behavior, then welcome, and we'll take a look at some of that. As well, then I'll dive into the grand solar minimum news, and there's just no shortage of it this week. As always, I'll try to select only the things that we need to look at to get a better sense of what it is we need to do to increase our chances of surviving and thriving moving forward, rather than simply obsessing over the terrible things that are happening right now and the devastation that's being wrought. We'll try and look for lessons in those patterns. Then I'll share with you some daily steps that folks in the Ice Age Farmer community are taking. We'll be hearing as well from an ER doctor who has noticed something in his own practice and wanted to call that out. Specifically, a drastic increase in the number of fungus-related diseases. We'll talk about that. Before we do all that, I do just want to remind you to subscribe to theicehfarmer.com. Hit the bell if you're on YouTube. Or go ahead and subscribe also if you're on iTunes or Stitcher, because I very much want to continue delivering to you information about the grand solar minimum and building with you a path forward that we can all execute on together, something that will make sure we have resilient food production systems, and that if the power goes down or the foods, the shelves go empty in the grocery stores, that you and I are not affected by that. That is the goal here, is to become more self-sufficient and extremely resilient against the failures that, frankly, we know are coming. We just know at this point that this is happening. I have to call that out. Tick tock, tick tock, folks. Time is always working. It's either working for us or against us. Is it working against you right now? Are you in denial about what's going on? Are you in suspended belief? Are you just in totally shock and awe at the massive earthquakes and storms ravaging our planet right now? Just as we've known and said for years would be really ratcheting it up in 2017, especially the second half of 2017, and now we're seeing it. Are you busy feeling vindicated? The truth is, we should be redoubling our efforts and recommitting to absolutely making sure that we are equipped in terms of our preparations and our skill sets to deal with the reality that is rapidly unfolding around us. It is impossible to deny to those of us who have studied these things what's going on, and it will be increasingly difficult for folks who haven't studied this to argue that there's not something truly exceptional going on. And as all eyes are currently on the climate, now is the time to put out the word about the grand solar minimum, the solar cycles that dictate the behaviors we're seeing here on Earth, and on the other planets for that matter. Or are you currently actively taking steps every day towards your family's food security? If so, then you are making progress. And then time may be on your side. Then again, we saw yesterday a sunspot that the one that was delivering to us multiple blows throughout the week, causing a lot of this, just gave a final massive flare pointed mostly away from Earth. That one would have been a deal breaker had it happened during the week pointed at us. That would have been the end of electronics and probably of civilization as we know it on this planet. Where you are is where you stay. It's go time. Patriot style from James Wesley Rawls. That's good reading. It's preferably not something we'd like to experience. But that's why every day we must be working on this path, on this self-sufficient path. I'm not at all suggesting we should be afraid. In fact, I would suggest we should not, because it's just not helpful. Those energies must be channeled into finding creative solutions and into building this community. If you can just appreciate what a wild ride God has arranged for us here, it's an honor, I think, to come at some point to the end of this and say, man, I could not have imagined anything as insane as what I just went through. A holy, absolutely corrupt civilization under constant threat from myriad swords of Damocles. The least, or the most pressing and the most certain at this point, seeming to be the sun going through its normal cycles and about to wreak havoc on our planet and on our agricultural systems and beyond. So we have to have faith, and we have to take steps every day. Trust in God, but row away from the rocks, right? I think that's Hunter S. Thompson. That's the second time I've invoked him on this show. I choose to believe that we have some element of time on our side still working for us. There's simply too many coincidences to explain away otherwise, but I'm digressing. The point is, if you aren't actively planning and preparing and learning now, what are you waiting for? Possibly at this point, I literally don't understand anymore. Must it be your house that is destroyed? Need it be your plate that's empty? At that point, it's too late. These things are undeniably happening around us. We have entered a period of immense change. And we need to rapidly adjust our mindsets and our skill sets and our approach to life to accommodate that. And it might be painful. We might have to throw away everything we know. All the comforts or the rituals and the habits that we have that we're used to, the job that pays the bills, the way we've been doing things to date, it's just not relevant anymore. There is now a new set of circumstances, and it's a difficult and uncertain one. In fact, let's discuss this more. Let's get right into the icebreaker section. If you are new to the concept of the Grand Solar Minimum, if someone has passed you a link to this video, which I hope happens, then I want you now to know that there are well understood solar cycles, and that there are many lessons we can learn by studying the other global cooling events that are related to the same solar cycles that are playing out today. And I've taken these from James Marusek's 2009 Impact, because it's just a great rundown here. But let me get into these. An onset of these conditions can be very abrupt and quite severe. We can see a decline in food production due to dramatic increase in the number of days with overcast skies, a decline in the intensity of sunlight when it is there, a decline by several degrees in global temperatures. Historically, empirically, there are temperature drops. Regions of massive rainfall and flooding, like we're seeing right now in Houston and in India, Bangladesh. Limited regions experiencing droughts as well. So spotty coverage. Shortened growing seasons. Absolutely seeing that already. Look at Australia, still getting record amounts of snow, even though it's getting late into their spring now. A string of major and minor famines. Malnutrition leading to weakened immune systems, which paves the way for influenza epidemics or even the bubonic plague. Reoccurrence of plagues like that. A lack of feed for livestock. Parasites, example, Fusarium nivale, which thrive under the cover of snow, are then able to come back in great number and devastate crops. Attempts to store grain in cool, damp conditions produce fungus, which we'll talk about several points today, including ergot. Contaminated grains, when they're consumed, cause illness called St. Anthony's fire. They produce convulsions, hallucinations, and can cause gangrenous rotting of your extremities. Lovely. flooding, creating swamplands that become mosquito breeding grounds, which introduce tropical diseases such as malaria throughout Europe. During hot summers, cold air aloft produced killer hailstorms, and we've absolutely seen ridiculous number of hailstorms over this last year. Hailstones that could kill a cow. A higher frequency of powerful storms producing major devastation. Advance of glaciers swallowing up entire alpine villages. Ruptured glacial ice dams producing deadly floods. A drastic increase in the Earth's seismic activities, so earthquakes, volcanoes. A hugely increased atmospheric electric charge. And you see this manifest in things like fatal lightning strikes around the world, or even positive lightning, sprites, noctilucent clouds, northern lights in places that they're not usually. So here, just a rundown of the kinds of secondary effects that we see when the output from the sun drops, much less, as is now happening as well, when the magnetosphere of our planet is dropping and we are more susceptible to these energies from space, from the galactic cosmic rays and beyond. All right, having reviewed that, let's get into the grand solar minimum news, which I feel like is basically the entire week's worth of news. But nonetheless, it's worth reiterating. Are we seeing increased seismic activity? Obviously, when the sun popped off facing us, an X9 class solar flare, yes, when that CME reached us, we did have the largest earthquake to hit Mexico in over 100 years. Concurrent with that were lights in the sky, almost confirming for us that this was an atmospherically induced earthquake going on here. For those of us watching video, you'll see those earthquake lights over Mexico City, or over Mexico now. Hurricane Harvey doing massive damage across Houston. The flooding there is still a problem, even east across the border towns where farms have been flooded out and innumerable crops have been lost. The economic damage from Harvey alone estimated to be about 1% of the U.S. GDP. A lot of that translates, a good amount of that translates into lost agriculture. And so we can expect to see food price rises as well when you see that the oil rigs and oil production facilities across the Houston area are shut down. That is clearly going to have, and already has had, effects on the price of gasoline. Gasoline, which is, of course, a commodity used at almost every stage of our agricultural system to move goods to and from market, and even in producing them and sowing the fields in many cases. Unless you're using no-till, you're probably using gas-powered tractors to do your work for you. So that's another input. Gas is an input across the entire spectrum of agriculture, which means that it is entirely reasonable to expect that when oil production is shut down for a period of time, as it is now, there will be resulting food price rises. We saw that the flooding was so severe in Houston that the entire area sank further into the ground by 2 centimeters. That's a lot of water in a short time, folks. And we'll be seeing more of these. We also saw wildfires burn over 1.5 million acres in the U.S. West. Folks, last week I covered professional crop appraisers who were doing their tour across the United States, especially corn production in the Midwest, and noting that due to the shrinking growing season, in this case the late frosts that caused farmers to have to replant their crops, and so in some cases multiple times, that we are still waiting for corn maturity to be reached, and in many cases there are a few weeks left needed for that corn to get there, and that's just not going to happen. Look at these other headlines. We're seeing freezes reach down into that corn belt, as well as totally unseasonable snow already reaching Canada and even upstate New York. This is out of season. This is an early winter, which, just to amplify further, The growing season is shrinking. The traditional methods of agriculture will not continue to afford the food necessary to support civilization at the levels we've been running at. You must start growing your own food now. Okay, the same thing is happening in Australia. Their spring is just continuously delayed as more snow and frosts continue. And briefly, a volcano watch escalated for Vanuatu. I also wanted to mention that, turning to Irma, which it's too early for me to talk about how that's affecting the U.S. Obviously, it just completely destroyed several Caribbean islands, full-on concrete buildings. I mean, this was, civilization was there and is no longer due to the intensity of this storm. Also an indicator of the intensity, watching the water recede. Basically, as the hurricane made its way up, you saw the water first recede from the Bahamas. I had some of that footage towards the beginning of this video, and then I'm showing now footage from Sarasota Bay, where, as I mentioned, the water just totally was drawn into the intense low-pressure area of this of the storm. Now, some people aren't buying that, and I'm receptive to that that cynicism, because we had seen this sort of thing happen in Peru, when, as the water receded from the east coast of Brazil, there were then, on the other side, in Peru, giant swelling tides that were like making up for that. So there was something going on down there that also affected the tides and had the water sucked out to sea. Whether or not this is a more canonical behavior associated with extremely powerful hurricanes, I'm not entirely sure. Some people, I've asked around, some people seem to say, yeah, this happens with a big enough hurricane and we're just out of practice. We've sort of forgotten that. And then still others say, no, this is a weird way to try and pin this on Irma. But just the way it followed the hurricane, though, does seem to indicate that this was related to it. So I'm not going to speak to that here. I do welcome any comments. And as always, please send any feedback you have to iceagefarmer@gmail.com. And with that, let's go ahead and move on to the Daily Steps segment. As I posted in a video, I did encounter some strange, as yet not understood, virus that knocked me back for the last week. I was spending in a hospital. I'm still trying to really grasp what's just happened. It's been explained to me quantitatively that basically what happened was a miracle. Now, of course, it wasn't a miracle that I encountered the virus in the first place, but that I endured the set of circumstances that this thing unleashed, namely being beyond neutropenic for over a week and then a whole host of other things that got in as a result. I feel like I got a second lease on life here, and so I am just absolutely committed. Wild wolves could not drag me away from the pursuit of mapping a path forward and sharing knowledge in the grand solar minimum. I am here to make this happen, and I hope you'll join me. And it's funny because there was a story that I wanted to share, just a thought about before leaving to Germany. I had the desire to somehow maximize what I could get out of my worm bins when I was gone. And so I probably overfilled one of them a bit too much, right? Thinking, well, there's not going to be anyone here to smell it. If it smells funny, that's fine. Well, in fact, there was someone here to smell it when it was overpacked, and it was some ants. And they have moved in, and they have laid eggs. They've got a whole ant colony in this worm bin now. And that, when I think about what I did there and the lesson, it's just, you can't push nature. You can't try and beat her at her own game or get ahead of time. You can only, as I've said earlier in the episode, work with time. And that's when things go in your direction. But if you try and hack nature, it's not going to work. And now I find myself facing that same realization. I've got some months realistically of healing in front of me, and I'd love to just call this thing done, but I'm going to go need to rest some. So all of that on the heels of this kind of ridiculous world events and the you know, the adrenaline that comes when you see that kind of stuff, it's a lot to digest. But I think it speaks to the kind of reasoned calm that we have to keep about us. We have to keep our wits about us. We know that the systems are failing and it just won't help us if we're afraid or if we start running around with our heads cut off. We need to really quickly get our stuff together and share what we do know from our own experiences and then start experimenting to get the rest of the ground covered. We can stand on the shoulders of giants in many cases here, but we still have to assemble and synthesize this knowledge. By the way, I'm showing right now clips from Russia where swarms of locusts were devastating farmland. Yet another example of the kinds of things that will make agricultural production. But I mean, these scenes were biblical. All right. As you can hear, because they're loud as all... I've got some crickets here, and they're just the cutest little guys. I've given them a little home here, and I'm pretty happy with the idea of being able to produce protein in a very small space with not a terribly large energy input. I have since heard from a former bait store owner that earthworms are actually also a very low space intensive energy, not requiring much energy, way to produce protein. For some reason, that does feel like a little bit more of a stretch to me to eat worms than to eat bugs. But I mean, I've heard from people who could do it either way. And so I think that's just the image parameters we have to overcome. So that's interesting. The totally sterile production of earthworms, that's at least the studies that I read have all been based in like grass clippings and these sorts of a medium for growing earthworms that you then harvest and pulverize into a powder, much like you do with the cricket flour. So that's interesting. These are some unexplored protein production mechanisms that we'll experiment with. We'll see what's working. If nothing else, they do provide good food for your aquaponics driving fish or for your chickens or, you know, further up the protein chain. What about you? What are you doing today to make sure that you have security in your food tomorrow? I know you're doing something because when you look around the world right now, as we just have, things are going off the charts and the agricultural systems aren't going to be there for us. So tell me, how are you taking this situation into your own hands? What's working for you? What's not? Drop me a note, iceagefarmer@gmail.com. All right, and with that, let's get on to the community feedback section. This is a note that I received from an ER doctor whose name I will not share, but I wanted to absolutely share with you something that, that he and I have been discussing. He writes, I just recently subscribed to your channel on my quest to know more about what's upon us as we prepare for the changes. I'm a medical provider in a local ER and urgent care clinic. One of my skills is to quickly see patterns and parallels between information, and I have noticed a subtle change locally that may or may not be related to the grand solar minimum. I live in the high desert, and other than on wrestlers, ringworm, we rarely have skin issues with fungus. These last few months, however, I have seen a great growth in such infections, and not only on axillas and groins, but body-wide infections on very clean-looking people, which is strange. Even various cases of thrush on teenagers and young adults, and that is also very rare. I have tested these people, looking for immune system disorders that would explain this, but no issues, and this is extremely rare normally. Also, my yard is now full of mushrooms. I've never seen them here, and in the winter, when days are darker and cooler, and there is a lot of moisture, perhaps in shady areas, but never in the open grass. I've never seen this before. The air is dry and temperatures are between 90 to 100 degrees Fahrenheit. How can these things even be growing? They seem large and healthy. Can it be a change in UV light? What else might favor fungi growth? We just purchased a 27-acre farm away from the city and populated areas, and we'll be moving to it, hopefully. Well, congratulations, and thanks for reaching out. Congratulations on that purchase. And I wish you the best of luck with that new property. I did write back and say, that's very bizarre. I only know that ultraviolet light can be used to reduce fungal growth, so I'm not really sure what to make that. And he responded, me either, but it's very strange and it's new. especially the fungal infections that I'm seeing. Like I said, these are not regular ringworm infections, but they're all over scalps or chests that are completely covered. I've been seeing patients in this valley for 10 years, and I've never seen this before. Rarely I would see it, but not multiple patients week after week. So again, thank you, doctor, for writing in, and I hope to continue our correspondence. I wanted to share that message and that just that idea here in the episode, and also because it seems to bring to light the need for natural antifungals, I went ahead and added a section to the Ice Age Farmer Wiki describing some natural remedies for antifungal. Among them, I actually thought it was interesting that spirulina apparently has, among the studies for spirulina are some that indicates it has properties that make it effective in battling candida beyond just boosting one's immune system. So I thought that was interesting as well. But yeah, very open to your thoughts on this, folks. If you have any ideas, comment below or send me a note, iceagefarmer@gmail.com. And with that, I hope you've enjoyed today's discussion. I hope you got something out of it, and I hope you find it enlightening enough to pass on to a friend or a coworker or a guy you meet on the street who looks like they're ready to have a conversation about the crazy climate events and what is actually causing them and what else it's about to actually cause and how we can brace for that, because the time is now to have that conversation. So please pass on the word to your friends about the show and about what's going on. Thanks for joining me. This has been Christian with episode 13 of the Ice Age Farmer podcast, mapping a path forward to prosperity, building resilient communities, and sharing knowledge in the grand solar minimum. Until next time.